Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Aphrodite.
And I'm Amira.
And we are talking today about episode 5 of The Charmed reboot. This was a very Melco heavy episode.
Woof.
Yeah. Lots of feelings that we will be getting into in just a bit. But I know, Amira, you wanted to make a quick plug for a movie that you just saw.
Yes. So as usual, I've been very behind on my lesbian movie watching, but Hearts Beat Loud just became available on demand. So watch that. And I can definitively say it is now in my top all-time favorite movies list.
Wow.
It is so good. Please go watch it. It is such a beautiful, heartwarming story. I'm hoping we can discuss it more in depth in a later podcast episode. But, you know, like, I've had the song Hearts Beat Loud on repeat.
Damn.
Since I watched the movie. So I'm like, I am into it. It's like, it's a great, I don't know, I feel like there's a lot of kind of like teen story movies that like I have trouble relating to. But
you
this
usually
one was,
don't
like
them.
Yeah.
You usually don't like teen stories.
Yeah, I liked this one a lot more. A lot more. I loved it. I really loved it. I thought the cast was spectacular. At the end of the movie, I was like, honestly, there's nothing in it that I would have like changed or taken out. Like if I got really picky, I could find things that I was like, you know, I could have done without that. But usually at the end of other movies, I'm like, oh man, I really wish they didn't have this character in it or this scene or whatever. And at the end of this movie, I was like, it was perfect. All of it was perfect.
Wow.
It's the queer storyline is very prominently featured. It's not presented as a coming out story. It's not presented as an obstacle. It's just there. It's not a problem with anyone. No one cares. and the daughter is also dating a woman of color. So,
okay. Like when you give it that kind of recommendation,
you know you got to see it.
I know.
Because I'm so picky.
Yeah, Amir is very picky. And like for me, I love teen storylines. Like I love all the feelings. I love the emotions. I love freaking out about stuff and like getting sucked back into being a lonely queer in middle school or high school. But like you've not really enjoyed that many teen storyline. So so this is impressive to me. And
yeah. So let's get into Charmed. So BT Dubs, I just read, and I don't know if you knew this, but look out for the 11th episode of this season because Miss Gina Rodriguez will be directing it.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah.
That's amazing. They're like really trying to put like not only women of color in on our screens, but behind the camera too. So that's exciting. And we also have more episodes to enjoy this season because the CW just ordered 22 episodes.
Yes, that's true.
I have to confess that whenever I hear about a show getting 22 episodes, it does make me worry about the quality of the writing.
Yeah.
I'm not
going
to lie.
Have some fillers.
Yeah. And like filler episodes can sometimes really frustrate me. I'm hoping that they can deliver as much character development and as much of the sort of packed storytelling that they've been giving us the last few episodes. But can you keep that up for 22 episodes straight, right?
Right. Yeah.
Because you're really going to need, you're going to need two season finales. You're going to need the mid-season finale and then the season finale. In order to like maintain momentum and build up to some like larger arc.
And, right. Viewership is already, I mean, it's still high, but it's, you know, steadily, slowly dropping a little bit as expected. So, you know, like you said, it's like, you don't want it to kind of just level out and lose its steam because then we'll have trouble having it renewed.
Exactly. The premiere got 1.57 million US viewers.
It did, yeah.
And then this most recent episode was 0.95 million, so like 950,000 U.S. film viewers. And I think this is just live TV.
Yeah.
I actually do think that the CW cares about online engagement and other ways that people are watching the show through the website. Like I purchase the episodes on Amazon, but I do try to watch live to, you know, show my support. But with numbers like that, I do get a little bit nervous. And I want to like spread the word and get people to watch this show. I feel like half the time whenever there's like queer women of color, I'm like proselytizing to all my friends, trying to convince them to watch this cool show and get on board for it and suffer with me.
I know. But and like, I think all of us have been guilty at one point or another of being like a hashtag broke queer who has to illegally download shows because we have no other way to access it. Yeah. It's okay. We've all been there. But, you know, if you're able to watch it somewhere where it's going to be the views are counted, that will really help the show maintain steam and hopefully get renewed.
So spoilers galore. This episode 5 called Other Women was devastating. And I watched it on a plane ride and I was barely able to keep it together. I'm I mean, I'm emotional when I'm on flights anyways, because like being above like the earth makes me like look down and reflect on my life a lot. But this was like, like, so I was already in a heightened emotional state to begin with. Mm-hmm. And then I started this episode and I was like, oh my God, this is too many feelings. And the thing is like last week when I was freaking out, we were freaking out about the preview. I didn't think they'd actually follow through with it.
I didn't think so either.
I thought they were just going to scare us.
I know. Okay. I had so many points of like hope and then it got crushed throughout the episode. Like I thought, okay, they're not going to go through with it. And then they did go through with it.
I can't believe it.
And then
they did
I thought it was going to be resolved by the end of the episode, but it hasn't been.
I know.
So I don't know what the future holds right now for Melko. I'm hoping they wrap this up quick because I know that they said that the spell is irreversible, but like, honestly, even in my notes, I wrote Mel is like high key an idiot for doing that spell. I mean,
I'm so mad at her.
How can you, she did it so quickly. I feel like she didn't really think about it, but how could she have guaranteed that Nico would be safe if she does the spell? I mean, we already saw that the shapeshifter, you know, sort of phased out of her time freezing spell before. So it's like, how can you assume that it would be immune to the effects of this spell? He said, even at the end of the episode, that like he felt something to that evil biotech CEO, which I appreciated, by the way.
Yes.
As someone who works in biotech, I was like, yeah.
So
let's walk through the episode a little bit, because I feel like there's definitely like phases in, you know, where like decisions were made, like key points.
Okay, because I have like concerns and criticisms that I have to raise about this episode.
Okay.
I will say that even though this was an emotionally impactful episode, even though we got a ton of backstory on Nico in this episode and we learned a lot more about their dynamic, this was the most frustrating one for me to watch, just because I felt like Mel was being a fucking idiot. And I'm just so mad at her. I'm so mad.
Ugh. She's such a Cora, honestly. She's so much like Cora, just like rash and like rushing into things without thinking.
I'm
disappointed.
I'm mad at her, and I talked about this in the last podcast episode, but like how her guilt pushes her to make rash decisions. And I'm like, you are not singularly responsible for Nico's relentlessness or her safety. Like there are lots of factors that come into play. You can't carry that on your shoulders. I'm upset that her sisters didn't do more to stop her, but
me too. I mean, I feel like they just sort of felt like it wasn't their place, but yeah, I mean, she's doing the same thing as she did with Angela, where she blames herself for everything. And you know, that's one thing, but Mel takes it a step further and decides that it is her responsibility and hers alone to then fix the problem that she has created. And so I think with the Angela storyline, we saw that, you know, it had like a positive ending, but I'm hoping with this storyline, she's going to see that it didn't turn out that well and that she's able to fix it.
One giant plot hole that they didn't address is how in the world did that shapeshifter remember? Like, if they actually had divergent paths, right, then Nico wouldn't even have been partnered with Trip. Nico would have been at that other station, would have been stationed elsewhere. Mm-hmm. And so why would Nico even be implicated in Mel's mother's, the mystery surrounding Mel's mother's and the death of those other elder women? So how does the shapeshifter remember when it's supposed to be only the four of them?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, I think that the shapeshifter and who are they, father and son, by the way? Because I thought the shapeshifter tells the CEO, like, tells his dad, that he like felt something, some sort of like time thing, and suspects, in fact, that the Charmed Ones have used this kind of a powerful spell. The dad says, yeah, I did feel something. So I think that they have some sort of powers that allow them to not have a complete immunity to it, but they can sense that time has changed, or like the course of time has changed. And I think it's more odd that Harry didn't know that they could be capable of it, especially since he himself saw the shapeshifter defy Mel's time freezing in the hospital. Yeah. So I feel like that should have been a clue to him that, you know, maybe it wouldn't make them forget.
I don't know if you want to talk about Maggie and Macy. The Macy and Maggie, like, romantic subplots have just been blah. Mm-hmm. And I also, like, this episode made me not like Galvin. I'm just mad at him. I don't care.
Yeah, but I do feel like he's under a spell. I mean, that's not his normal behavior. We've seen in past episodes, he's like, I think he's pretty cool. Like, he's like a nice guy. Like, he's, like, genuinely, like, a good person from what we've seen. So I really think that he's under the effect of... I mean, we saw that glowing sign, whatever, on him.
I'm still mad. Like, I'm gonna hold him responsible for his behavior until we see how he tries to make amends. But I'm, like, still upset about it. I'm like, okay, so, yes, technically Macy pushed you away a little bit. Mm-hmm. But also...
Like, and, yes, Summer is extremely hot.
Yes.
Did not go unnoticed, BT Dubs.
Yeah, but like he was a little bit pissy and like kind of an asshole towards her.
Yeah, which I feel like is the whatever spell effect on him.
Is it though? Because the spell is supposed to make him like, it's supposed to pull him towards Summer, that woman.
But and we don't know that it is a succubus, because they suspected it was a succubus. And then later they were like, oh, it's not actually. And Harry had Macy go copy the sign so he could figure out what it was. So at this point, we don't know what is affecting him, but we know he has something almost like branded on his body. It's like a glowing symbol on his body, and he's completely changed. So I believe in Galvin. You can choose to be mad at him.
I'm mad at him.
Guilty until proven innocent.
Well, it just reminds me of, like, you remember that Supergirl episode, Red Kryptonite, where like Kara, she changes, but like also the things that she was saying were rooted in a little bit of truth. And
yeah,
so I guess I don't want to let him completely off the hook just yet.
But I love that Maggie and Macy were kind of bonding this episode and working together to figure out what was going on with Galvin.
Yeah.
So I just appreciated the sort of like sisterly dynamic development.
Yeah. P.S. We just realized watching this episode that Galvin's name is Galvin and not Gavin. And not
I was right
Marcus.
The first time. I shouldn't have doubted myself. Stupid. I mean, whoever updated Wikipedia, because I double checked it on Wikipedia and I should have known better. But whoever wrote his name on Wikipedia wrote it wrong. So I thought I was correcting myself, but I ended up making myself wrong. So apologies. Yeah. Always go with your gut, but not Marcus.
His name's definitely not Marcus, and it's definitely not Gavin, but Galvin. Listen, you did your homework. There was a mistake on the site that you were looking at. We still don't know the white guy's name, the Lucy's boyfriend.
Yeah, I just have been tuning that out. I don't know if it's intentional or not at this point. I feel like my brain knows, like, oh, white man on the screen, just ignore.
Don't care. I mean, as for Maggie, I'm like, thank God she got kicked out of that sorority. She has to focus on school. She's about to flunk out, okay? Like, you could use a little bit of redirection, honey.
I'm upset that she's apparently having feelings for this guy, and the guy said that she has feelings for her. I'm like,
stupid.
So this is for sure gonna, like, every episode, I'm like on a wing and a prayer, like, okay, hopefully they're not actually going to get together. Hopefully we're not actually supposed to want them to get together, but nope, they are probably getting together. That's what it's looking like. I hate it so much. Maggie deserves better.
I actually don't know that I can say Maggie deserves better, because Maggie is such a moron. Maybe she deserves him.
I feel like the character, like, Maggie should have a better storyline, I guess, is what I'm saying. Maggie, as is, yeah, she's being stupid. I mean, she's falling for him, whatever. It's like, you know, that's her problem. Like,
to his credit, he did break things off with Lucy as soon as he realized he had feelings for her. But I'm mad because I'm like, y'all don't have feelings for each other. Y'all just want to fuck. It's not
exactly.
Like, yeah.
It's lust.
This is just attraction. Don't say that you care about who he is as a person. Don't say that he's like a great guy. Don't say that you're like, I don't know, drawn to his personality or that he's drawn to yours. Like, y'all just want to fuck.
Yeah, so you don't know each other.
You don't know each other. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, young love. Young lust, I should say.
I know. But I also think that this being kicked out of the sorority and losing her friendship with Lucy conveniently allows her and what's his face, the white guy, to get together. So
yeah.
I don't know.
And then it's a weird storyline too, because as Kristen told me, since she was in a sorority, because I don't know these things, but she was like, it is so weird. Like, is she supposed to be rushing this whole time? Because that doesn't last that long. Then it's not like one girl can just decide that she's kicked out. You know, like if she's done rushing and she's officially in the sorority, then then it's not for Lucy to decide. But then if she's still rushing, then that itself is like a weird plot line, because it's like she shouldn't be rushing for like weeks. It's been like, what, like a month or two since she started school? Like, it's the process is not that long.
I'm glad Kristen has this like former life as a sorority girl to inform our podcast. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about our frustrations with Maggie and Macy, and I feel like now I want to talk about my frustrations with Mel as we went through the episode.
Yes,
so
please.
Mel started off real great at the beginning. She was being the supportive girlfriend, and when they were at the grave and she was like, how about some Asa Valentino Grige? I don't know what either of those things are, but that's so cute. Like, their first date menu. So adorable. And then, like, inviting her over, inviting Nico to a getaway for the weekend. You know, I think Mel really was trying to be, like, an A-plus girlfriend. Except for when Nico is at the dining table and they're night in together. And she starts to tell Mel about how Tripp was onto something with Mel's mom.
Yes.
And Nico is surprised when Mel says she doesn't want to hear any more about it. And she wants Nico to just let this go.
Yeah.
Because that's totally out of character for Mel. And Nico knows it. Nico's like, you are not one to avoid the truth. You are like, both of them are women who are committed to seeking out the truth, even at great risk. And I think Mel knows this about Nico and knows that that's why Nico wouldn't stop to find out exactly what happened with Tripp. And like Nico even says, like, don't you want the truth? And Mel responds with, not if it means putting you in danger.
Yeah. I think this was a really pivotal scene in the episode because, you know, we know that Mel has a hard time lying to Nico.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this is a point where Nico knows that something's up. Like, Mel's not telling her either. She's not telling her the truth at all, or she's not telling her the whole truth, because this is the girl who, you know, after her mother died, was like begging Nico to investigate it because she was convinced that it was not a suicide. Mm. And of course she was right, but Nico now finds out that there's proof to back that up, and whether or not Mel has had closure about her mother's death, that should be something that a normal person would be interested in pursuing. Anyway, I feel like that was a huge mistake on Mel's part. I feel like she should have played that out a little bit differently and tried to get Nico to think that, you know, Mel was on her side, but that she should approach it cautiously.
Like, she shouldn't have done that. This was not necessarily an opportunity for her to tell Nico the truth, but it definitely is out of character for her to tell Nico not to pursue something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because, you know, the next day they're like, sorry, last night was so weird. And, you know, it's sweet that you were worried about my safety, blah, blah. All of that was weird. And I'm sure Nico was like, what the hell's going on with my girlfriend? This is not like her. But if someone was going to go to the trouble of framing Tripp for the murder of those people in order to hide the truth, then I guess both Mel and Nico know that there is great danger involved in continuing to pursue that case.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, this episode also made me like Nico more.
Yeah. We see a lot more of her personality and her character in this.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to see her, you know, doing things independently yet again when she goes to the cabin, which, Nico, have you never watched a scary movie? Why would you go to a cabin in the woods in the middle of the night by yourself?
By yourself.
I mean, God, like, all sorts of stuff happens there. None of it is good. So, anyway, whatever. I was upset about that. But I was happy that, of course, you know, she didn't get hurt. And Mel saved her from hellfire. It was so romantic.
Yeah, well, that was kind of, that was scary when she was trying to when she was trying to freeze the fire. Mm-hmm.
And it didn't freeze, yeah.
And it didn't freeze. And then also when Nico was in the hospital and the shapeshifter became the nurse, and yeah. then the shapeshifter also could not be frozen. Like, yeah. what?
Well, it's like it broke out of it. Like, I couldn't tell if it was, like, affected at first and then, like, you know, shook it off or something, or if it was just faking it. I don't know. It was a very confusing scene to me, especially what kind of powers do they have that they can not, like, follow the rules of time, I guess, you know, mm-hmm. as the witches manipulate them. So,
yeah, she was lucky that she figured it out about the nurse in time before the nurse mm-hmm. injected Nico with that green stuff.
Yeah. For the record, if you're ever at the hospital and somebody's trying to inject you with, like, glowing green shit in a syringe, like, it's yeah. not...
That's suspect.
It's not real. It's not right. No. Don't let them do it.
Yeah, and there was a little exchange when Nico woke up that I completely forgot that Harry the White Lighter is still mm-hmm. chair of the Women's Studies Department.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, oops, forgot about that. It's funny because, like, every so often we're getting little bits of information about him too, mm-hmm. like how he became a white lighter. He died in some yeah. act of heroism that put him in this particular role. So we're getting, like, a little bit of information about how he became who he is mm-hmm. and why he has earned a spot on this show, like, you know, in place of other women of color. I don't know. Could they have made the white yeah. lighter not a British white man, though? I kind of think about that sometimes.
Oh, they definitely could have. But I feel like since they did go ahead and make him a white man, a British white man, I'm happy with his character development thus far, especially mm-hmm. because in this episode, he had a particularly subservient role. He was basically their butler at home.
Oh my God, totally.
The whole time. And then, you know, they, of course, very sweetly invited him to be, you know, like, a part of their family. Aww. Since he doesn't remember his life as a human or his family. So that was really nice. And I feel like they do genuinely care for each other. But
he's got the apron on and everything.
I know. Priceless.
Yeah, you are, like, the domestic one in this yeah. family.
I mean, that's the only way I would allow a white man in my life is if he was
serving you,
doing things for me around the house. Yeah, if he was serving me. Quite frankly. Fair.
Like, he's growing on me. Harry's growing on me a little bit. And he showed up just in time to wrestle the nurse and, like, stab her with the needle and then, like, inject it. I mean, his relationship with Mel has also changed a lot. Like, mm-hmm. what started off as a very antagonistic relationship, now they trust each other. And
right.
They help each other make decisions. And, you know, as mad as I was at Mel for making the decision that she did, Harry also supported her and went to bat for her and went to talk to the elders about getting the Book of Shadows so that they could cast that spell.
Mm-hmm. Even though she shouldn't have done that stupid spell in the first place. So, okay, Harry had warned her that there are unknown implications. There are
unintended consequences.
Yeah, consequences. And she doesn't, of course, think about these things before she goes ahead and does the spell. But he also tells her that it's not reversible, if I remember correctly, right? Like, he yeah. sort of explicitly states that, you know, once this is done, it cannot be undone. So I'm hoping that that is a lie. Whether he knows it or not, I'm hoping that they find a way to reverse it. Because otherwise, we're looking at, if we want Melko to continue, they're basically going to have to meet over again and fall in love over again. And with Mel knowing their past and Nico not.
Let's rewind really quickly.
Sure. Go ahead.
The scene where they cast the spell, where the sisters all make the decision to do that. And then Harry says, go say goodbye. Mel is like, goes up to the room. Nico's like, putting her shoes on, her socks on, and she's getting ready to go to, like, dive back into the investigation. Mm-hmm. And she says, please don't, like, Mel, please don't try to stop me. And Mel just freezes her so that she can look at her girlfriend one more time before she disappears.
Yeah. And tell her what she really wants to say.
Oh, wow. That was a very difficult scene to watch. Although, like, I did rewatch it a second time, and I have to say the CG was kind of comical. Like, the rain, like, the memories raining down upon them in the background, that was kind of funny. So, like, as that was all happening, and she's, like, you know, trying to tell Nico, I will always love you, and then she goes and tries to kiss her, and then she disappears. Like, I have to say, if that had been me, I would have, like, just wrestled her to the ground and, like, hugged her and been like, I'm so sorry. know how Mel was able to control herself in that moment.
I know, I know. And I just want to say, Ellen Tamaki, who plays Nico, tweeted about that scene. Shooting the Sands of Time memory erasing spell took hours late at night in the bedroom on a green screen with so many different camera angles. Melanie Diaz was present, honest, and heartbreakingly good the entire time. So lucky to have worked with her.
Oh,
I love it. I love the behind the scenes notes of, you know, the making of. Their bond is real.
That was really hard to watch. And I can't imagine the kind of pain that Mel was going through. If you're going to tell a story that involves two people who love each other, like as if they never met, you have to build up to that moment. Mm-hmm. And I think it was too early in the season to introduce this kind of barrier for them. We should have had more time to understand just how dangerous this was for Nico. Like, Mel really should have explored and exhausted all other options before resorting to a history rewriting spell.
Yeah, and I feel like she felt like time was of the essence, and that's why she had to do it so quickly. But, you know, I disagreed. I felt like they could have at least taken another day. But I guess, you know, Nico was going to, you know, as she went to go say goodbye, Nico was already trying to get out the door. So they couldn't have just kept her in that house forever. But I almost wonder if the fact that it's so early in their story is a good thing, because, you know, I would wonder if it was later on, if it was like even like season three or something, like way down the line, where something like this happened, if it would be permanent, because it's, you know, it's almost like the death of a character or the death of a relationship. It's it's like, that's it. You know, they had their run and that's no longer going to be a part of the story. But now that it's so early on and it's like pretty clear that Melko is supposed to be endgame, or at least for now, like they're definitely supposed to be together. I feel like that tells me that this is going to be reversed somehow. You know what I mean?
Well, this also is a great AU because, like, you know, like just going back to Xena quickly, Xena and Gabrielle in multiple realities over across time and space end up together anyways. Like they are meant to be. And as fate would have it, like even when they're in different bodies, even when they're in different time periods or whatever, they still manage to find each other because the love is that strong. Exactly. And so maybe this is an opportunity for them to tell an AU of like how Melko could have been in this alternate universe. The thing that makes it more complicated is that Mel remembers. It's not like Mel had her memories erased, because now that she knows what happened, even if she met Nico again, she would try to keep anything from happening between the two of them.
Even if that cannot be reversed, I wonder if there is another sort of spell where maybe, you know, they start to fall for each other and Mel can't keep this one-sided anymore. So she like shares all of her memories or something with Nico or something like that, you know, to kind of like let her in, you know, they're stuck on this alternate timeline, but the least they can do is have their relationship back. So I just, cause it's like, I just want it to go back. I want it to go back to the way things are. And I'm just thinking of like any possible way that could happen.
Yeah, I wanted way more cute scenes of them. Like, I don't think we got enough cute. I think we got some cute, but there's so much more cute to be had.
I want like the scenes that we get on Wynonna Earp between Wayhot. I want that to be like the status quo. You know, like the cute flirty scenes and like the kissing scenes and stuff. Like, I want that to be like the bare minimum. Anytime you have a queer couple on a show, look at that for an example. Like, this is how you should be portraying them.
Yeah, I would have liked more of them being sort of like physically affectionate, like I guess doing coupley things together. We did get little bits of that, and you know, like Mel did suggest that they get away for the weekend, but it was Nico.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get to see that.
But I know. I wanted to see that. Like,
I know.
Let's see them get away for the weekend.
And to be fair, it's not like the two other straight sisters have had, you know, extensive. I mean, Maggie had like one brief sex scene. It was just before that breakup with that guy. So I feel like it wasn't. It didn't mean anything. It wasn't like, oh, they're like in love, blah, blah, blah. Like, the sex scene itself was comical because she was hearing all of his thoughts and it was like ruining it for her.
But it wasn't sex. They were just making out, right?
Well, they were like, you know, I mean, they were taking off their clothes and stuff. And then after, she was like, oh, I can't ever have sex again because of this power. When she went to her sister. So I thought the implication was that they did end up having sex, or that at least that they were trying to. And maybe, you know, she stopped it short. But either way, you obviously censor that out.
Yeah, I definitely don't remember that. Like, I'm sure that it happened, but like it, you know, my whole filtering thing, I somehow have no recollection of that scene. But
this
was
with Bland, white boy number one, the ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so many of them. Yeah, so
too many.
Like, I'm trying to envision a future scenario where they end up back together again before the season's over. I, like, as frustrated as I am glad that the writers are, like, mixing it up. Like, there are lots of ways to introduce conflict and, like, bring, like, pull them apart and only to bring them back together again. It's like, it's the, you know, the pull apart, bring together, pull apart, bring together. It's that, yeah, it's that back and forth that we actually want as shippers. And so this is, I guess, a creative way to do that. I'm like not happy about the execution. But it does create opportunities for them potentially in the future to reunite. And at the end of the episode, she says, well, there's no way I would meet her again, right? And then Harry says, well, it's unlikely she would have been stationed elsewhere. But what's to say she wouldn't go back to Hilltown for some other reason, right? Mm. There are already unintended consequences. You know, apparently Nico was the reason Mel got her job at the university in the first place.
Because she woke her up.
She woke her up to go to the interview. For the interview, exactly. And she, like, is, like, at the end of the episode, we find out that she doesn't even have her job anymore. But what if something else, you know, like, maybe Nico gets transferred over to Hilltown in her job? Mm-hmm. Is Nico still with her ex, the one she was engaged to?
I know. That's what I'm worried about. I'm like, what if she's married? Because she apparently broke it off with that ex because of Mel.
Oh my God. If she's married, that's going to be so hard to get over.
I know. So that's what honestly I'm most worried about, is that she is at least in a relationship, at most married, because she was engaged when she met Mel. But what I'm hoping is that Mel and hopefully, you know, her sisters and Harry will find out that the shapeshifter is still onto Nico's trail. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, her constant interfering and going to try to protect her will basically force them to cross paths again. And maybe, you know, Nico will fall for her all over again. And we'll get to see the meeting.
Oh my God, right?
It's what we always wanted.
What if we actually get like a meet cute? Like,
yeah.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that would be adorable. I would like a meet cute.
More realistically, it'll probably be Nico being annoyed that Mel is like stalking her or something.
Like, what are you doing? Why like, are you following me?
Yeah.
And like, Mel would be so awkward. Like, I know something about you, but I have to act like I barely know you.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. I just hope they don't break our hearts too much before they put them back together. Because right now, the only thing keeping me going is telling myself repeatedly that they will get back together. I don't know it for a fact, but I am hoping to goddesses above that they are brought back together.
I mean, I just don't know how many episodes we're going to have to go without Nico in it.
You think they just won't have her in it at all?
I mean, I don't think she's going to be in the episode. I don't think she's going to be in next week's episode. So if she's not in next week's episode, and then this is another reason why I'm concerned about this whole 22 episode season. Mm-hmm. Like how long will they torture us? Like,
yes.
How long do we have to go? I can't go probably more than 2 episodes, I think, without Nico coming back into the picture somehow.
Oh, yeah. I think she'll be back in the picture very soon. But, I mean, I'm going to be tortured by them just not being in a relationship together, especially if Nico is with somebody else.
Yeah. Ugh. So I'm a little bit nervous. I mean, I still want us to be talking about Charmed. But it's going to be hard if we don't have Melko, like actual Melko scenes.
I know.
I liked episodes 1 through 4 a whole lot. And then this episode, because Mel made that stupid decision and I'm mad at her. And because I felt like for them to do something this major, like rewrite history and not have enough buildup to it. Those are things that frustrate me as a viewer.
Yeah, I feel that. I feel like it was too forced a conflict. You know, I need to be made to believe that this is their only option before I accept something like this. And I did not feel like that at all.
Yeah. This was a conflict that needed at least 3 episodes to resolve. You couldn't resolve this in a single episode. And that's what they did. And that's why both of us were surprised that she actually followed through with it within the same episode.
I was really digging deep in the hope barrel. But I was like, oh, maybe this is like, a simulation spell or something so that Harry can show Mel that she would actually deeply regret doing this and it can be easily reversed because it never actually happened.
You actually believe that?
No, I did until the end of the episode where I was like, "Oh, this is how things are now." I was like, I was going,
"Oh my god."
That's what I said. I was scraping the barrel.
Oh my god.
Of my hopes.
You're scraping so deep.
Don't make fun of me. I just wanted good things for them.
I know.
I feel like that's a wise thing that Harry would do is be like, oh yeah, okay, let's see how that would go. You know, because there's no way Mel would listen to him if he was like, oh, let me show you a simulation of what that would look like. You know, because he does simulation stuff with them all the time.
No,
for
you're
their trainings.
Right.
So I was like, oh, maybe it's like a fake thing, and then she would see like, oh, these are all the unintended consequences. And implications of my actions, and this is actually really bad. And oh, look, Nico's actually still in trouble, so it didn't really fix anything, it just made it worse.
I will say this, Amira, your imagination is better writing than what we got from this episode.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you should hire me.
Honestly, Harry should have done that. Mm-hmm. Harry should have let them follow through with the spell, but actually, it's a simulation, and then they find out. I think everybody should have talked about this more. Rewriting history does not guarantee Nico's safety.
Exactly.
There is no guarantee of her safety, even if she's located in another town, even if their paths diverged. Yeah. It reduces the probability, but it does not completely eliminate the risk. Now she's going to be in danger, or like she might be, and then the shapeshifter guy and his biotech dad are going to go hunt her down somehow. And then Mel's going to be like, well, fuck. I went to all this trouble and like cried my heart out. I had to make Nico forget about me in order to protect her. And now I don't have Nico and she's not protected. So you really lost out, honey. You didn't get any of the things you wanted.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. And I feel like that's probably what we're going to see soon. I'm hoping in the very next episode, if not at most the one after that, because I'm suspecting that Shapeshifter and Biotech Dad are part of like the big baddies of this season and maybe, you know, responsible, tied to the deaths of their mother and the other two elders. They're involved somehow.
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to get the answers that we're so desperately seeking.
Yeah. Well, now they have 22 episodes to fill every plot hole and,
I know.
And give us the whole story of how all of this is connected. The Harbinger, like the death of their mom and those two other elders, like how are they involved in the broader season arc?
So maybe this Nico thing will be the climax for the mid-season finale.
Actually, maybe you're right. Like they wouldn't leave us hanging like that. Like
yeah. And if it's going to be like 8 or so episodes, I mean, we're on episode 5 right now. So like
they've got 3 episodes to bring her back.
Yeah. We're giving them an ultimatum.
Yeah, this is your ultimatum,
bring her
writers.
By the mid-season finale, or so help me, I will probably just keep watching this show, but I'll cry while I do it, and I'll complain the whole time.
Oh my god! Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course we're going to keep watching this show.
You know, despite my problems with primarily Maggie's storyline, Macy's is not bad right now, but it's bordering on a little boring, to be honest. Mm. I feel like it's just... all of their storylines are revolving around love interests. And even though Mel is a queer woman, I feel like it's very true to the original series. I'll give it that. But
oh, is that the case?
It is like, I don't want to say demeaning, but I'm like, do they not have anything else going on? I mean, you know, Macy is working in like a really cool high-tech genetics lab. I'm like, give us like something that she's working on, like, or, you know, some project or something or some work thing that she's like stressed out about. Like, I wish that was her conflict and not primarily Galvin. And same thing with Maggie. I mean, like, she's a student, like she has important things to worry about, and not this bland white guy. And then Mel, even, like, she's supposed to be this like cool teacher. Like, I want to see her group of friends, I wanted to see her teaching, and now it's like she apparently doesn't even have that job, so we can't see that anymore. I just I wanted to see their lives and who they are as people, and not just in relation to who they're interested in.
Yes, this is another, I think, weak point in the show, which is that each of the individual sisters, their storylines just revolve around like romantic relationships. And I'm like, where is Mel's super cool rad queer women of color friends? Like,
yes.
Where is that friend group? You're in the women's studies department.
They must.
In the women's studies department, and y'all are out there protesting and shit. Like, yeah. Can we meet some of them? I also wouldn't mind. Okay, this could be controversial. I also wouldn't mind, like, depending on how long it takes for Nico to come back into the picture, I wouldn't mind an episode where Mel sort of, like, nervously tries to date.
Or to, like, take her mind off things.
To take her mind off things, or, like, just for, like, a fun distraction while she's a little bit heartbroken. Like, I wouldn't mind just a little bit of that. So we get some queerness before Nico comes back, depending on how long this break is.
I think that they would be very comedically played out. You know, in the end, we would not be rooting for her with anybody else. We're just like, no, Nico, go back to Nico.
I mean, I have to say, I'm just mad at this episode. And
yeah,
we'll have to see.
It was disappointing. It was a lot.
Yeah.
So
I hope the writers make it up to us. And I hope we have something more to say about Melko for next week. But yeah, this was a tough one. This was a tough one for us.
Tune in next time and we'll see if our hopes come true or if our dreams are crushed.
Yeah, we'll find. Well, either way, we're going to keep watching, as you said. So.
Yeah, of course. We will keep watching, but.
All right.
Yeah.